Yeah, and then you know how it is, like you rip one and then you walk out and you're like, it wasn't me.
Yeah, oops. You got to do that crop dusting thing.
It was the other guy.
That's my favorite thing when we walk onto a plane.
Wait, crop dusting? What's that?
When you walk onto a plane and as you go down the aisle.
You're so gross. You just let
them go. Hold on. I got to hear this. Wait.
Jim, so you walk onto a plane, and as you go in the plane, you just silently let one go as you walk down the aisle, and it's crop dusting.
In a world where you only have trailers and posters to judge a movie, Jim and Ted strike out to answer the age-old question, will you see it?
It's episode 84. We have a lot of women tonight, Ted. Can you handle the estrogen?
Yes.
Okay.
I love estrogen.
You do?
I eat estrogen for breakfast.
You do?
Anne's like, wait, I'm not present. When are you doing this? Where?
I have testosterone toast myself.
Yeah, so if you didn't hear, we have Anne and Clarissa with us this week.
Hello there.
Anne, say hello.
I did say hello.
I'm
trying to eat my toast over here. Can you leave me alone?
That's testosterone
right. She was talking, and so I just had to say hello to do it.
So since we have, looks like we have some big beers tonight. Well, big bottled beers, not big alcohol beers.
Yes.
Why don't we get into the beers? And Ted, I see you have something with a yellow cap. What is that?
Right. Okay, so.
Don't talk. It's my beverage.
It's Anne's beverage, but I chose it. Go ahead. You talk about it.
The three of you drink beer. I do not. So. Dearest Ted picked for me Wild Craft Cider Works Sage.
Oh, a cider.
Nice.
Sage, made from apple and sage leaves. And I believe it's two types of sage.
This botanical cider is an enhanced expression of two varietals of sage infused in three-stage process. The marriage of sage wine and cider results in a smooth, very so slightly sweet cider with bright aromatics and citrus-forward mouthfeel. Enjoy the wild.
Ooh.
And it's 7.2.
I heard, wah, 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 cider, wah, 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 cider.
Wow.
7.2.
Well, Ted, you beat us.
What's that can?
The can is my beer because, you know, I'm going to share the little cider. But then I have a beer that's a cast out IPA from Bend, Oregon.
Oh, okay.
And it's a 7.6 ABV, so I beat everybody.
Did you get that Bend, Oregon beer because that's where we were 2 years ago, 2 days ago for the eclipse?
Wait a minute, Ted.
Yes.
We didn't even get to introduce our beer, and you're telling me you beat everybody.
Well, Clarissa said that Anne beat you guys with the 7.2, so what's your beer tonight?
Well, we have another Solvang brew this week.
Nice.
Brewed here in little old Lompoc, California. It's the Blue-Eyed Blonde Lager, and it is only a 5.2, 12 IBU, so this should be pretty lightweight.
Oh, yeah.
At least on the bittering.
What's the IBU on that cast-out IPA, Anne?
Ooh, that smells yummy.
I'm reading the label everywhere. I don't see it.
So the IBUs on this is a 60 IBU, so that's all right. Which glass do you want?
I'll drink out of my dad's.
Okay.
Wait, 60 for a cider?
No. The cider doesn't have IBUs, but my little cast-out IPA, Sit Crux cast-out IPA, has 60.
All right. So anything major to report from the week?
It was a very report-filled week. Cheers.
A report-filled week? What does that mean?
I had to pump out another quarterly report, and that's what took up my whole week.
Oh. Wow.
Audrey's basketball is back in swing at school.
That started this week, yeah.
Oh, we'll have to hear about the playoffs when they roll around.
Yes.
Is it too much? Let me try it before I try my beer, my IPA.
Woo, that was tangy.
Mm. The tulip helps accentuate the sage as it comes to your nose.
Oh, listen to Ted.
You can definitely catch the sage off the tulip glass and then the tang of the cider. It's a nice refreshing different. How about you guys?
It's a lager.
Wait, are you drinking the same thing?
Yeah, they're splitting it.
Yes.
Yes, we are.
It's a very smart and refreshing lager for these cold summer days.
Hey, it got to almost 75 today. It was warm when I was riding home. I was sweating like...
My God, was it a wet morning this morning.
75 in Lompoc.
Woo! It was about 52 degrees on my ride into work, and I was soaked when I got there. The air was so heavy.
Do you know it's been like in the 90s here?
Oh, cool spell.
Yeah.
So why don't we jump into some movie trailers? Since you had a slow week, we were both kind of like my first week back to work, and not a whole lot's happened, you know. And you know, I'd say the only thing exciting is when I picked up the boys from school. All the girls had to kiss Mikey, or not kiss him, hug Mikey goodbye.
Oh
yeah, he's Mr. Charisma.
Oh goodness,
he's the ladies' man.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, well, he's wanting to come home, and the girls keep, Mikey, hug me. Mikey, hug me. Mikey. And he's like, I got to go. You know, he's like, I can't be hugging all these women. So speaking of hugging women, we have three movies for the ladies, or movies about the ladies, or movies about women. I mean, how would you even define
them? I would just say they're three female-led casts.
Okay, there you go.
And, you know, and the movies are all coming out this Christmas time frame, this whole winter. So it's they're coming up soon. Oh, it's actually two movies and then a series. The Morning Show is actually a short, limited series.
Yeah, that's on Apple then, right?
It's going to be on Apple. I don't know if anybody's going to watch it. Who knows who's going to get Apple?
Well, let's jump into that one really quick since, you know, we're there and I have a few questions. So do you think Apple, like, they don't have the data that Netflix has because they just haven't had the TV or, well, they haven't had their, like, own network, what would you even say, like, network movie viewing TV show moving forward data collection?
They haven't had a streaming service, you know,
yeah,
up and running. So this is kind of their foray into the space. I think they're kind of copying the mold of creating content within a genre and then just seeing how it goes. I think, you know, they have a lot of money to throw at something like this, and they're creating this space. Yeah, how'd you feel about the trailer itself?
Well, and that's why I ask, because like when you watch, let's say the other Jennifer Aniston one on Netflix.
Murder Mystery.
Yeah, Murder Mystery. Like it's very formulaic.
Right.
Right? I mean, they're hitting all the finer points of what everybody's expecting from a movie. High speed chases, good looking people, the silly European, you know, like whatever it is. And that's why I'm wondering is Apple, do they have access to data that's going to give them a formula, or are they creating the formula out of data that they're now collecting? Or are they collecting movies or information for movies and stuff that are on Netflix or Apple streaming?
Well, you have to think that they have Apple TV and they have the iPhone platform. So they've been collecting some data from things that are streaming through the system. So even without an API into what people are watching on Netflix, you know, they have packet sniffing. I'm sure they have some data. You know, nobody's releasing any of the data that they have on how consumers, what consumer habits are. So the only thing I can say is that from this trailer, I kind of get an air of hubris because it has Apple TV and it doesn't have, none of the print has anything about like when it's specifically going to be released. You know, it doesn't have
coming soon.
Coming soon. It's very generic. Yeah, all it says is Apple TV Plus. And then on top of it, it almost feels like they're playing it safe. When you have this trailer and you have these spaces of dialogue, the characters feel like they're dealing with these huge turning points in their lives, in their careers, and yet the lines that they come away with, the lines that they use in this, you know, you have the dramatic cymbal swell music into the boardroom and stuff, and she said, you know, she says stuff that just feels very scripted and doesn't feel natural to this space. And I've let you boys run too long, and you know, golly gee darn it, we're not going to do this anymore, you know?
I thought it was really strange when she goes to Steve Carell's house, and I don't know the character name, so right. I apologize. And it feels like he was sort of, my impression was, he did not expect her to say, you know, these allegations against him, blah, blah, blah. But then when she goes to his house and she says, you threw me under the bus, it's sort of like, wait, was this a setup? Like, did they do this to drive their ratings up?
I would say so.
And I thought the introduction of the Reese Witherspoon character, I think her naivete was genuine. Like, she did not expect it. It was not something that she was looking for or driving her career to.
It's almost like they just dragged her out of it. Dragged her and said, hey, here you go. And she's like, what?
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. They took her from field reporting to in the studio.
Exactly.
Well, and the thing that this, and we'll get to some other things later, but I think a lot of times when they're putting stuff together, either they are paying very close attention and the intended consequences, or perhaps they're not paying attention and they're unintended consequences. But why music from Supertramp?
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, are they not paying attention that it's Supertramp, right?
Yeah, I think it's probably like temp music that they end up just buying and leaving in.
That could be. And they're not paying attention to the name of the band, you know, but.
Well, if it's a good song or it goes with whatever the feeling they want, doesn't matter about the rest.
I mean, some of it too, and we'll get to this when we talk about Bombshell and everything. But when you think about like the Me Too movement and stuff, like no one really thought through that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Pound Me Too? You know, I mean, it's like, do they think when it's like, okay, they might say hashtag, but it's the pound sign. Like, pound me too. I mean, like, come on, you guys have to come up with better names for these things when you're developing them and think through what they are, you know?
Oh, the double triple entendre. We love it.
Jimmy, get your mind out of the gutter.
Well, you know.
My mind's not in the gutter. I'm just thinking of, like, what's the, where are these things coming from?
Someone not thinking.
Exactly.
And speaking of thinking, that scene where Reese Witherspoon is standing there in that black dress and I don't remember who it is who says to her, oh, you could be in that chair. Billy Crudup?
Oh, I don't know. Is that his name? Yeah, I think that's him.
And then she's standing there looking at the desk, like wondering. And I'm like, wait, now is she no longer so naive? Is she like really scheming and plotting and planning to upstage the Jennifer Aniston character?
Yes.
Did you think that?
No, I agree. I think, yeah, it's like it's going to come down to like cutthroat.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I think the Reese Witherspoon initially is just like pulled along and then she starts just getting into it, maybe.
Well, okay. So Apple TV Plus is Plus their... What is Plus?
I think...
Is that something new?
Plus is just the name of their streaming service. You know, it follows the Disney model of Disney Plus.
Oh, okay.
When the streaming services were married to cable providers, everybody's called it, you know, Now. So it's DirecTV Now, HBO Now.
Or Go.
Go, it was the standalone versions. So Now is always tied to the streaming, tied to the cable provider, and Go is the standalone streaming service. And now Plus is kind of taking something that is a brand unto itself, like Apple and Disney, and then being additive and adding the streaming service to it.
This week we had a conversation in the car with the kids about real content providers, and I hesitate when I say that because it's not fake content, but we were saying, you know, the original content providers were studios, CBS, ABC, Sony, Paramount, Warner Brothers. But now you have tech companies. Apple is a tech company. Netflix is a tech company leading the charge in putting out content.
So the conversation began because Spider-Man is kind of going through an ugly divorce battle with the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So Sony and Disney are struggling to not work together for the next Spider-Man movies. So the kids wanted to know why. And of course, the company line at Disney is that Disney is the last of the big media companies that was founded by a creative leader. So Disney was considered, you know, a creative leader, whereas Sony, which is the other parent company of the Spider-Man franchise, is of course a hardware company, you know?
Tech.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Apple and Sony are hardware companies. Comcast and Time Warner are, you know, media conglomerates, you know, cable providers.
Oh, I gotcha.
And so now Disney's the last of the creative founded companies.
So when you say creative founded, you mean like as in Walt?
Walt himself, yeah. Walt and okay, Walt, Roy, yeah. And Ub, and then all the other old men. Yeah, they founded the company, and then it's based on their, you know, on their vision, but it has grown to a conglomerate of its own. So,
well, does it matter if it's a hardware company like Sony for TVs and boomboxes and Walkman, and now they make movies, and Apple makes, well, software and hardware.
Yeah.
And now they're doing TV. I mean, it's like everybody has so much money that to throw a problem.
Yep. It all depends on the execution.
You hire the right people.
Exactly. Exactly. You know,
right.
And if Netflix hires the right people, then it's fine. And we'll see what Apple's foray into the space is, because, you know, with HBO and Showtime, everybody kind of has to stake their own claim to this streaming space. So it'll be interesting to see how safe Apple is playing it with this.
Well, and if Apple content, shows, movies, whatever they put out, is so horrible, then we'll know software engineers are trying to direct and produce and write. You know, I mean, but something tells me they're hiring good people to do these things. I think it's really irrelevant, if you ask me, because you're putting your money. I mean, it's like smart people hire people smarter than they are, right?
You would hope.
Yeah.
You would hope. But the egos at that level can sometimes be too big. And executives, even if they're outside of their element, executives can, you know, just be eclipsed by their own ego. And they don't necessarily want to let go of the control of that last call, you know?
And that ties back into the trailer. Like, every time they cut to Jennifer Aniston in car service, she's always looking up at that billboard of herself and Steve Carell. And it's like, who abandoned who? Did she abandon him? Like, why was he at home? Was it cooked up? Like, again, it's sort of like, which came first? You know, the chicken or the egg?
Or who made who?
Right.
In that scenario too,
yeah,
right?
That's true.
Yeah. I mean, I know it's a little bit different, but it's the Regis and Kathy Lee. It's that space. Whenever there's a handoff there, it always feels like they go through something like this.
For sure. Yeah. Well, Ted, you had a good segue. Speaking of egos and all the things. So let's move over to Bombshell.
Oh, I love Bombshell.
Yeah. And then we'll close out with maybe a little bit happier women's stories. Yeah.
So I want to say, I sent you that article, but there were no spoilers in it. When we watched the trailer, I said to Ted, I was like, did Charlize Theron get some work done to her face? Because that does not look like her. And that article that I sent you guys was about that, how much she doesn't look like her, but how they tried to get actors and actresses who resembled the real life individuals that they were going to portray on screen. And while the Nicole Kidman and the Charlize Theron characters are based on real human beings, the Margot Robbie is a made-up character.
So wait a minute. The scandal that you sent was about the work she had done to her face?
No.
It was a throwaway line.
How much do these actors and actresses resemble the real-life people that they're to portray? And are they somewhat unrecognizable as themselves? Because I didn't know that it was her during the whole trailer until the name cards came across. And I was like, oh my God, that's her?
Academy Award winner. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, I was thinking, based on the looks on their faces, and they don't really give any indication of which one, but I think it's left to the audience to figure out which one farted in the elevator.
Is that why Nicole Kidman says it's hot in here?
Yes.
Exactly.
I was like, okay, wait a minute. They're hitting number two.
She smelt it, dealt it, right?
Yeah. They're hitting floor two. They're looking around. Oh, my God. I let one slip by.
Floor two.
Well, they're hitting the floor two button.
I know.
Yes.
I mean, look at all that blonde hair in there, man. Maybe it's smell of bleach in there.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you know how it is, like you rip one and then you walk out and you're like, it wasn't me.
Yeah, you got to do that crop dusting thing.
It was the other guy.
That's my favorite thing when we walk onto a plane.
Wait, crop dusting? What's that?
When you walk onto a plane and as you go down the aisle.
You're so gross. You just let
them go. Hold on. I got to hear this.
Jim,
so you walk onto a plane and as you go in the plane, you just silently let one go as you walk down the aisle and it's crop dusting. Oh.
Crop dusting. Where did you get that? I don't get the name though.
It's like you're dropping your gas on the crops.
So we just saw Hobbs and Shaw, and Kevin Hart plays the air marshal. Yes. Spoiler, if you haven't seen it. And he turns around and he starts arguing with the rocket and Handsome Rob, and he says, I'm in a fart can all day.
I'm a fart can at 30,000 feet all day long.
I guess so.
Oh, my goodness.
So anyway, so Bombshell to me, I think it does so much with so little. You know, it has the title. You know, you want to talk about titles. This title is well thought out. It is Bombshells with a Bombshell. So the double entendre is in full effect with the title.
Yeah.
And then the only line that's said is that it's hot in here, right? And that is another double entendre to the hot actresses in this. And it is, you know, getting hot because the coolest thing about hitting the second floor and then having Nicole Kidman come in and her acting without speaking where she goes to hit the second floor, but it's already hit. Then she's already thinking about which one of these other women is going to HR, because that's the only reason to go to the second floor is to go to HR. You know, it's like they know what this is for. And only at the very end do we get any shot that's outside of the elevator with the Fox News channel thing, and this is this symbol, and then it, you know, it reveals the whole thing. Nothing is said between anyone, and then you're left with Charlize Theron, you know, in the elevator as the last remaining anchor on this, you know, on this network with Ale still alive. So I just think it does so much with so little that it's a great teaser trailer.
And I know it's the Roger Ailes thing, but this is like, this goes along the lines of like the Harvey Weinstein thing too, though, right?
Yes, but it's solely specific to Roger Ailes.
No, I understand that. But what I mean is, it's more or less like if you want your position, get on your back kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
It is pre-Me Too, and it is, the part of the establishing factor of all of the whole Me Too movement. But it is interesting because we do have a Roger Ailes movie that's out now with what's his name?
Crowe.
Yes.
Russell Crowe.
And it's so funny because they focus on Rahim. So this is interesting to see the other angle to see how they're going to do this.
Well, and that's what John Lithgow said, was this is primarily a focus on the women. I'm just kind of there because I have to be.
Uh-huh.
And what's super unique about that is you don't see any of the other main characters except for these women. Like the guy in the elevator with who gets on with Charlize Theron, I don't even recall him speaking.
No, I don't think anybody speaks.
No, nobody does, except for Kidman.
Yeah, and like when you look at the cast, it's like, man, there's a lot of people in here. And you only see primarily these three women and then the other woman and the gentleman who get on and get off before these three main characters.
Well, I think that's why Ted said it best. It's a great teaser trailer.
Yep.
So they're not showing you all the exposition and characters and things. They're just getting your mouth watering for what's to come.
So I like that the two trailers, the morning show and this Bombshells, they're very similar in that it is television anchors.
It's like pulling back the curtain is what they call it. It's pulling back the curtain on something that everybody's interested in. Everybody watches every day, but they don't get to see this angle of it.
And I like that this talks about what started as a whisper, because obviously somebody was whispering during the morning show, but it doesn't hint at it in that trailer. But my assumption in The Bombshell is it's the Margot Robbie character that makes the whisper.
Yeah.
That becomes the bombshell.
Oh, and I will say that the morning show was contributed by Audrey. Audrey watched that trailer early on this week, and she sent it to me in a text, and she was like, she liked the look of it. So I think she immediately said, I probably can't watch the series. I don't know anything about it, but I liked the trailer. I thought it looked good. And then, you know, when I watched it, it was kind of safe. So I was like, I don't know how they're going to play it. Because even when you think Steve Carell did something, you don't know if it's going to go down the Me Too route or somewhere else, you know?
So you think it might be a risque?
Well, you know, if you're talking about the behind the scenes at the newsroom, it feels like everybody, like from PBS, Charlie Rose to Matt Lauer, you know, the Today Show, it was everything, you know?
Okay. So now the question is, for all of us, would we do the same situation to advance our career to, you know...
No.
To get it on. Oh, come on.
Yeah, but how much money is on the table? That's what I want to know.
Well, any amount, really.
I mean, if it's like, Jim, we got this thing for you, you know, like you can make a couple of $1,000, it's like, I'm not that desperate.
Right.
But if you're talking like, I don't know, like
six figures?
A couple mil? Oh, I am a whore.
And there you have it.
I mean, if that's all it takes is a few minutes for, like, you know, to make or break your career, I could give you a couple minutes.
Oh, did you watch The Boys?
No, not yet.
Not yet. You're finishing up Barry.
The Boy. Oh, no, we haven't gotten there yet. Yeah.
I heard it's good by other people, too, so we'll have to see it.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Make it or break it career.
You know, like I said, I got to, like, Rod, like, let's say I'm, like, good looking, right?
Hypothetically speaking,
I'm good looking.
Because you're not.
And Roger Ailes is like, hey, baby, you know? And I'm like, all I got to do is survive 2 minutes.
I doubt it would. I think it'd be a lot more than 2 minutes to
Well, and then it's felt like it was 2 minutes and then another 2 minutes and then 2 years worth of 2 minutes.
I know. That's what I was telling Jim. I was like, it's got to be more than just once. Then it's like, you probably got to do it regularly. And I don't
exactly
know.
That's what I was thinking.
So you're saying that it's like weekly because your job is on a week to week basis. The minute you stop, you're out of work.
I don't think it's weekly. I think he had a nice rotation. And he just, you know, called on whomever he wanted to call on.
And if they said, well, not tonight, they're like, well, you're not going to be on the next episode or something.
Something like that, I'm sure.
Probably. I mean, it's. Wow. I guess we won't know for either of these two until we watch them.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, that's a little different. If it's like, if I'm on regular rotation... I don't, you know, okay, that might be a little different.
Does that push it to 20 mil?
Regular?
Yeah, I mean, that, like, I'm not saying no.
You got to get it to quit everything forever. You got to get it to big FU money.
Yeah, no, you know, but that's true, though, because I'm not saying, the answer's not no. But the answer is like you gotta make it worth, like.
Gotta make it worth it.
No, what I'm saying though, if it's like, okay, you know, like here's $100,000, you know, it's like, that's not enough. I could go make $100,000 doing something else. Right. But like, you gotta get me to the point. Yeah, you gotta get me to the point where, like, I don't know, like I can't achieve this any other way.
Yeah.
And then it's like, then it's got to be like above that too, though.
Okay, so are you speaking?
It's very complicated.
Are you speaking as if you are the woman?
No, I don't think I need to be the woman. I mean, it could be like this. I mean, like Roger Ailes is not a handsome man, right? So right. You could have a very, like, homely, obese woman or something who's like, you know, Jim, I do need some loving now and again.
We shouldn't laugh about this. This is a very serious topic.
Okay.
No. I'm being serious.
I know you're being serious.
Like, we need, if you want Trailer Junkies podcast to get anywhere in this world... you're going to have to provide me some services. I don't mean waxing the Buick.
But see, I think that I'm hoping that both of these are showing how vulnerable individuals are, not just women, but anybody.
Oh yeah, for sure.
In the workplace, and how exactly what you just said. If you want to advance your career, if you want to move up the ladder, then you have to scratch my back and I will scratch yours. And then the question of morality comes in. You obviously want to succeed. And do you sit back and you say, oh my God, is this the only way I'm going to succeed? And, you know, obviously everyone who's come out and been brave enough to say that, it must have been just an emotional roller coaster. And
oh
yeah.
And I wonder, when we see these, the morning show or the bombshell, are you going to see both sides of that emotional roller coaster? Obviously you see it in the morning show when Steve Carell is smashing the TV, and then when Jennifer Aniston said, I let you boys run the show long enough, you see that. But where is the break? Like, how are they pushed to that point of saying enough is enough?
I mean, yeah. How many times have I heard, Jim, you don't want to disappoint Ted, do you? I mean, if I had a nickel for every time I heard that one.
Oh, goodness. I mean, I think that they're very unique perspectives on a very topical, emotional,
sensitive topic.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they're both presented in these trailers in very unique ways.
Yeah, it's definitely true. Because you can see in the morning show how, like, you can see the progression of her, like, back and forth. You can tell it hurts her that she had to do that because they were together for 15 years as far as being on the show together. So they probably, I mean, you become friends and, you know, a relationship of some sort, you know, only to... Another one, huh?
He's thirsty.
Lupinic distortion IPA. They used to number these things.
It says,
oh, it's number 11.
Number 11. It's 11. A little small, so he couldn't see it right away.
Yeah. So you like that emotional upheaval that they show in the Jennifer Aniston character, Clarissa?
Yes, I do.
Well, I think both of them, I think the whole idea of the Me Too movement and the whole idea of, like, the casting couch, it was a cultural norm, it almost felt like. And I had no experience about it, but it has, like, this legacy of, like, that's the way things were. So it was like the slip...
Oh, I'm sure that's how things were, no doubt.
Which is sad.
Yeah, the slippery slope of... You know, you do it you just do it a little bit to get the edge, to get the opportunity above someone else. And then after you're known for taking that opportunity, then you get marked as somebody who is, you know, is willing to go that extra mile for another opportunity. So it's kind of a hard place to be. And I think that's the struggle you see in Jennifer. And it's not necessarily a sexual one, but she's struggled with the choices that she's made to get where she is in her career.
Exactly.
It's like, Clarissa comes home and we'll talk about the dynamic between her as a nurse and a doctor or something, and my dynamic at work between me and teachers or administrators and so on. And I think a lot of it too isn't even that it's sexual or anything. It's that if women become assertive in any way, then they're the bitch, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Or the nag.
Yeah. Or bossy.
Yep.
And I like it, like when Ted said, you know, she's... or maybe Clarissa, you said it, she's questioning, Jennifer Aniston is questioning the choices, because Reese Witherspoon says they want to get their news from somebody they trust. And then there's that pause and her eyes are sort
pause.
Of like, yeah, her eyes are like saucers. And then Reese Witherspoon goes, like you. And then she's like, yes, 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 like me. it begs the question, obviously she's done something shady. What did she do?
Tortured. She's tortured by her choices.
Yes.
Speaking of tortured, I don't know why they're so tiny, but Little Women.
The Little Women are tiny, but they're mighty because how many movies? This is the fourth major movie. Little Women?
There's many. We just read an article recently about the numerous remakes and the ranking of them, like which one holds the number one position. And I would personally say, obviously we haven't seen this, the latest iteration of it, but the one with Winona Ryder, Christian Bale, Susan Sarandon, Claire Danes,
Kristen Dunst,
Eric Stoltz. Who else is in it? Gabriel Burns. Yeah. And look at that. I just named all those people off the top of my head.
Except Kristen Dunst.
Good for you.
I mean, that one's a really good one. I don't think I've ever seen the other ones.
I looked it up. It's the 1994 version.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 iterations.
So there's 8 iterations of it. There's 3 different series. There's, you know, at least 5 major movies.
Holy Toledo.
1933 had Katharine Hepburn in it. But yes, Winona Ryder to me is the ultimate.
Yes, like that one is. I agree.
So, Anne, you ever read the book?
Yes, Audrey. We bought Audrey a copy of the book. She has it in her room on her bookshelf.
Did she read it?
Yes.
Nice. Okay.
Why are they Little Women?
So
I never read
the
it.
I'm going to take from that comment, you have not read the book, James.
No, I have not read the book. You're right.
I have to admit, I have not either.
Oh. And of course, has read every other book there is.
Right. So the book takes place in 1865. So shortly after the Civil War. Part of it is during the Civil War as the Civil War is wrapping up. And it is the leap from being a girl, a young lady, to having to be a woman within the household and to help the mother, Marmy character, keep the family going and help other families who are not as fortunate as they are. And what I thought was really interesting about this is, I mean, obviously this new cast is pretty prolific in their own right. But, you know, Ted and I were talking about how little Emma Watson is featured in this trailer. I mean, you see Timothy Chalamet and then I don't even know how to say Ms. Rosen, her first name.
Soiree.
Her first.
I did not look that one up this week. I apologize.
Soiree Ronan.
Soiree.
Soiree. I don't know how to say it. You want me to look it up?
We'll go with Soiree.
I'm 99% that is not how you say her name.
Of course not, but you know, we'll go with it.
Yes, because we're trailer junkies and we don't pronounce things correctly.
So Clarissa and her sister paid Louisa May Alcott a visit. They were knocking at the door, but nobody seemed to answer.
Uh-oh.
Well, you know, it was after hours.
Yeah.
Did you do that when you went to visit Kat?
It wasn't this time. It was actually, the picture was pre-children.
2009, okay. I think.
I think so.
Or eight, maybe.
Something like that. It was a while ago. God, it's almost 10 years.
Look at how fresh-faced you guys are. Aww.
I know, right?
I know. That's love. That's love.
Is that what that is?
Or lupanic distortion. I'm not sure which.
But, when we talk about the trailers, Anne was talking about how little Emma was in there. But to me, when you look at these three movies that are all, you know, female-driven movies, and you have one that's kind of with this new streaming platform, and then you have one that's a traditional movie that is a great teaser trailer, and then this one, it feels like it's just your, you know, very generic, very paint-by-numbers trailer. There was nothing new about it, and I guess it's hard with Little Women because everybody knows the story, and this movie's been made so many times.
Not everybody.
But you have, you know, you have you have to like sell, I guess you have to sell the story to a new group of people watching it. And then you have to pay enough homage to the story that people love so that the people that saw the other ones will attempt to see this one as well.
The only thing that bugs me about this trailer is I swear they have almost like two trailer to the trailers just because they introduced the four girls three times in the trailer. Why in the world? It just bugged me.
Yes. No, I agree.
So it's like this, it's like the millennial generation of Little Women, essentially, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I guess every generation kind of needs their own version of Little Women. So we can expect, you know, every like 10 years, a new Little Women to come out, you know, new actors, you know, I guess. Is that what you're saying?
The latest act.
I think so.
I looked up her name. Saoirse.
I don't think that's right either.
It's how do you...
Shisha.
No, it's pronounced...
Not Shisha.
Saoirse. Not...
You're so... Oh my God, you've had too much beer. Saoirse, like inertia.
Okay, good job.
But I think this take on you have to update it is very correct. And the article that I read was...
Why do you have to update it?
Yeah, why can't we just watch Winona Ryder?
I don't know.
Or read the book from 1865.
No one reads books anymore. Come on.
I know, unfortunately.
Barbara reads books on her Kindle.
We try to read books to the boys, but yeah.
No, we do. We get books read. But so you were saying, Ted, though, about...
Do we have to make it again? Is that what we're saying? Like,
yeah, like, does the story need to be told again?
I don't know. I guess if people get together and people want to make it, then they can choose to, you know, put together the production effort to get it done. And I guess people love this story, so they want to be a part of this generation's retelling of it. I think 10 years is too tight. I think you want to do it every 20 years.
Yeah. Maybe because it's a classic.
Because what was that, the last one?
1994. And Clarissa, so. I think they have to keep introducing them to you, the viewer, because I think, you know, they're trying to instill upon you who each of these girls are. Who's Meg? Who's Amy? Who's Beth? Who's Joe?
Wow, 25 years ago.
Yeah.
Jim's stuck on the 25 years.
Man. And then before that was which version then? So that was Winona Ryder's version, 25?
That's Winona Ryder's.
94 was Winona Ryder.
Wow.
Then there was...
There's a couple of these TV series. 2017, 2018, they tried to do
but
some stuff.
Before that was a 1949 with June Allison, and then Katharine Hepburn was 1933.
Hmm. So 33 to 49 to 94?
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
To 2019.
Yes.
Say 2020 by the time it comes out.
2019, because it's coming Christmas.
Oh, okay, that's 2020. I mean, the year is over at that point. I mean,
it's over.
Just because you make it by a day, that doesn't make it like, I mean, 364 days have passed. That's a year, you know?
Jim.
Trying to game the system on me.
Of course. Isn't that usually what they do? Game the system as much as they can?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's how we do our fiscal spending. You got to spend it before September 30th. It counts.
There you go.
That's true.
So if you guys had read the book, one of the biggest thematic things that is discussed in literature class is the fact that Joe is Josephine and she goes by an abridged version of her name, which is male, Joe, and Lori is Lawrence, but everybody calls him Lori, and that's an effeminate version of his name. And they talk about the dichotomy of the use of the name and then the power struggle in their relationship.
And isn't every dance in Little Women a Sadie Hawkins dance because all the women are always asking the guys out to the dances? So my biggest thing is Emma Watson is wasted as Meg. She should be a Joe. She's a Joe. You know, when you do those studies, when you do like...
Because she looks like a Joe?
No, because of the power. Like, to me, Joe is the most... Joe is a force of nature. Like, I've only seen... I don't remember the 1994 Winona Ryder Little Women, but I just remember that that character Jo and Winona Ryder's portrayal of her is this force of nature and this free spirit that can't be reined in, that
yeah.
It feels like there, you know, there's a lot of strong talent in this 2019 version, but it does feel like Emma is there and she's not a Meg to me. I think there's you have her in a role that she's playing beneath her capabilities just to be part of this project.
So, Anne, have you answered why they're so small?
Why they're so diminutive in stature?
Yes.
Yeah, like it's Little Women. It's what's with the title? I never understood it, though.
I think in real life, then all of these young ladies are not super tall.
Oh, so it really is that they're just not big women?
No,
I think like Ted said, so in the book, I don't know, I would hope in every iteration, a big turning point comes where Jo cuts off all her hair and sells it so they can have money into the household. So she is acting as the leader of their family. Even though Meg is the eldest, Meg is going off, getting married, starting her own family. So each of these young ladies...
So they're all sisters.
They're all sisters, yes. And they all have to blossom into women. And it's sort of they're pushed forward into that because of the Civil War. Their father is off fighting the war. Then he is injured, and Marmy has to leave to go take care of him. And the four of them are left... to figure it out. And
yeah, they have to like keep the household or make the household in every iteration of it.
Yeah, and they have to grow up before they're ready. And to me, the whole idea of Little Women, it always led back to the, and they have a scene in the trailer here where you have that mean male chauvinist publisher who doesn't want to publish the book, you know? Oh, and they did the same thing in Mary Shelley, where yes. There's like a male publisher trying to publish this book, but because it's by a woman, you know, they think less of the work.
Or they don't think people are going to buy it.
Don't think people are going to buy it. They don't think it's worth it because a woman wrote it. And I think there's that by saying Little Women, it kind of demeans their abilities.
Yes.
Yeah, what they are,
what they're capable of doing.
Like lesser. Yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. Like lesser. Yeah,
exactly. Like not little, but lesser.
Mm-hmm. Lesser women, yes.
And yeah, I got you.
I think for the younger sisters growing up in Meg and Joe's shadow, it's very difficult for them. Spoiler. I mean, hopefully people have read the book. I haven't seen this version. But Amy becomes ill... because she's helping a family, and I believe this lower socioeconomic family, I think they have scarlet fever and she contracts it.
Oh, yeah.
And although she recovers, she's never the same.
Oh,
she's very weak the rest of
her life.
Yeah.
And then Amy struggles with just trying to get out from under Meg and Joe's shadow, to be her own woman, to be her own person, to say, I am in my own right a woman. And I think that's what the title plays into. How do you present yourself to the world and have everyone around you take you seriously?
Well, and Meg and Joe cover so much ground. Like, Meg is your traditional woman of that time. You know, she's getting married, she's doing all the right things. And then Jo just takes up all the rest of the space. She is her own independent woman. She doesn't necessarily want to get married. You know, she likes boys, but she likes them on her own terms. So where are you going to fit? Where are you going to make your own way when your two bigger sisters cover so much ground?
Yeah, you know, and Anne, I'm glad you gave a spoiler alert for a 170-year-old movie, book. Because
story.
I'm not really sure how I'm going to edit this because I just checked back in and I don't want any spoilers. And I'm sure the audience is going to be like, you know, hey, I'm so new to Little Women. It's been around for like, you know, 170 years or whatever.
Of the four of us, I'm the only one. And Audrey, who's asleep, who's read the book.
That's it. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Spoilers. So we can't have spoilers.
Oh.
You know, I mean, what's the statute of limitation for a story? Is it like at least 100 years?
24 hours.
Okay, so we're in the clear on this one.
So wait, when you guys visited the house, it was locked? You couldn't get in?
Yeah, it was just, I think we missed it by like, I think we missed it by about 15, 20 minutes or something.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Is it super close to Kat and Chris's house?
Yeah, it is.
I don't remember exactly, but it's, I would say it's within 30 to 40 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Were the grounds nice?
It looks beautiful.
From what we can see, yes.
It looks well kept.
The one thing about like outside of Boston area in Massachusetts, like from the picture that we sent, and we'll put it up on the website, but the picture that we sent, that's like everyone else's houses too, though.
Yeah.
Like they all look like that there. They're all like 300 years old with like a big old lot, you know, and everything's green because it rains actually. It's not like here in California.
Did I tell you? Did I tell you that the first time we took Bryce to the East Coast and we flew into BWI?
No. It's not the first time we took him. He's been going back.
Okay. So the first time he was talking when he was.
Or the first time he could articulate that he could see the visual difference between the East Coast and the West Coast.
So you fly into BWI and then you have to drive the BW Parkway into DC. You know, and you're crossing over, you know, crossing through Maryland. And as we're driving, as we're flying in, he was looking out the window. He's like, oh my goodness, look at it. Look at it. It's so much green, you know? And we get in the car and we're driving on the BW Parkway and it's just trees everywhere. You know, and he was like, we're in the forest. We're in the woods. Are we going to get out of the woods? You know? And it's like.
Oh, it's a stark contrast.
Definitely.
Between like the West Coast and California and everything versus even when we go back to visit my parents in the Chicago area, you're like, where all these trees come from?
It's really funny. One of the summers we were home, some friends here from Burbank flew out there and they went to St. Michael's Island for a wedding and they were just gobsmacked by the beauty. They were like, we cannot believe how green it is, the trees, the flowers, the Chesapeake Bay. And they were like, this is crazy. And then, Jimmy, you know, I mean, Chicago, DC, Maryland, Florida, 3 o'clock in the summer, 4 o'clock, the sky's going to open up and you're going to get wet. And they.
Oh, yeah, it rains.
Yeah. And they could. They're like, oh, my God, it rains all the time. And I'm like, I wouldn't say all the time, but yes, it rains a lot. Hence all the greenery.
Yeah, I mean, I would say the Midwest and so on probably averages, like if the LA area is, say, 15 inches a year, it's probably not much more than, say, like maybe 30 inches, you know, maybe it's double, which doesn't really seem like that much more, but it's just more consistent instead of all in like 1.5 months and then it doesn't do anything for the rest of the year. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
It's just a lot, or it's like a little over a long period of time, I guess, where...
I don't know. I don't know if you guys know that there is a tandem book to Little Women. I've never read it. It's called Little Men.
Uh-oh.
Huh.
I don't want to hear about that one.
I can't tell you about it because I haven't read it.
Double entendre?
Well, you know.
Yeah, let's not disappoint Clarissa.
Thanks, Jim.
They're diminutive in other ways. I mean, it's by Louisa May Alcott as well, but I haven't read it. And I don't have there been any movies about it?
I don't know.
You know, Clarissa still can't read a tape measure, and I don't want to tell her the truth.
Measure twice, cut once. Wait, that's a big difference.
No, don't cut anything. What are you talking about? And stop measuring. What are you measuring for?
I love that tool in the bedroom.
Wait, we haven't talked about Meryl Streep being in the movie at all.
Oh, yes.
My only comment with that is like a lot of young actors, and then you have Laura Dern and Meryl Streep, the old ladies of the bunch.
You are so terrible. Yes. Laura Dern is Marmy. She's the mother. And Meryl Streep is Great Aunt March, the rich one.
Yeah, but if you're the mother of like 20-year-old women, you're kind of older.
Especially at that
They're
time.
Not 20, though. I don't think any of them are 20. I would say at the eldest, Meg had to be, I don't know, but somewhere between 16 and 18.
But if you adjust it for inflation, they're 20.
Inflation.
Because
age inflation.
Because now 20-year-olds are the emotional equivalent of what 13-year-olds were doing back in the 1800s.
Exactly. Pretty much.
I mean, like I always say, no, and Ted, you're so right about that. What I always say is you get a 21-year-old guy today, he's like the pet of his parents in a basement playing video games. But World War II, the guy's doing bombing runs over Dresden.
They were 17.
Well, that's what I mean, though. It's like talk about like being men at such a young age, you know?
Hence the book, Little Men.
That's it.
Which I had to look it up. It looks like there was one in 1940 and another in 2016.
Oh, wow.
Recent.
Yeah.
Question for all three of these. Are you going to see all of them, any of them, none of them?
Yes, I had planned on taking Audrey to see Little Women. She was excited.
Okay, so we have to figure it out.
She's excited for Timothée Chalamet.
Okay, I think that would be a good one for me and Mom as well. So maybe we should all, the four of us, just go as like a mother-daughter team. Go.
Okay.
Go team.
Okay.
And Ted.
Yes.
Then me, you, and Frank, a bottle of scotch, you know, like.
With the boys. Don't forget you have to have the three boys with you.
Yes.
Well, Jake will watch him.
Bryce is pretty good at keeping your boys entertained.
He is. No, yes, you're right about that. He is. Bottle of scotch, throw something at the boys, and okay. So you're going to see Little Women, and then there's Bombshell. I mean, the morning show's on Apple, but what if, like, so, we have Roku. We won't have access to it, right?
Yeah, you'll have to watch it on your phones, on your new Apple iPhones.
Our Apple TV.
is like, Gen 2, so we won't be able to watch anything on that. You know,
iTunes on your computer, though.
You can watch it on iTunes on your computer. Maybe they'll have like a free, you know, a free month or something like that. We'll see it. I don't know. We can't get away from Jennifer Aniston every week or something. Jennifer Aniston something.
Yeah, I know.
And I think Apple, like, I mean, they're so ubiquitous in many ways. But at the same time, not everybody has an iPhone or an Apple TV or Apple Plus or whatever all this stuff is. And I don't know. I mean, do you think someone's going to sign up for just another service to just get another, like, TV show that they don't really need to even watch?
I'm going to say yes, because what did we sign up for? CBS All Access Pass.
Right, but we haven't done it yet, but we're going to do it when Picard comes out. We're going to try it again, and we're going to catch up on all this other stuff that we want.
So when we wanted to watch Star Trek Discovery, we waited till the entire season had aired or was close to airing, and then we bought it so we could
binge it,
and then we turned it off.
No, but you're kind of your binge where you watch one night. So you don't get that overwhelming binge where you watch like 4 or 5 episodes in a sitting and you don't.
And then you're clueless.
You don't know what you watched at all. Yeah,
exactly. Right.
So I think someone who's interested, I think those mega fans of Steve Carell, of Jennifer Aniston, of Reese Witherspoon.
Oh, the lineup is great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Billy Crudup. I think that individual would, but I don't even know. What else does Apple Plus offer?
So here's the cool thing that Apple's been doing. Apple's been doing a thing where they have this Apple TV, which kind of bundles all of your streaming apps on the device. So it says, do you want to add this to your Apple TV? So they've been slowly in the background kind of gathering you into this, you know, boiling frogs where you're kind of like, oh, I've been watching this on my device. It's just another way to watch something else on my device. So maybe they're going to get people to cross over that watch Netflix on their phone, and then they have an iPhone and they'll be able to watch it there. You know, that's the big thing is like, is it going to be able to be through iTunes? Are you going to be able to watch it on a PC? You kind of have to. That was the big breaking point of iTunes. That was a big, you know, expansion of iTunes was when it went to the Windows machines. That's when it really took over. So it'll be interesting to see how wide Apple goes with it to start and then where they go from there. And then you kind of want to take the cautionary tale of when Amazon tried to make phones. And how bad they Amazon and Facebook both
the
tried.
The Fire phone.
Yeah, they tried. And Facebook tried to make a phone right. too. And it's like, it's so hard to break into the hardware market. But is it equally as hard for like a hardware company that kind of, you know, and I know, Jimmy, you said that Apple's a software company too, but they've really kind of taken a step back on software. You know, other than the operating system, they kind of just manage people that want to put apps on their devices, you know?
Well, and is it that they're a hardware company, a software company, or more of an ecosystem company?
Exactly. Yeah, definitely. An ecosystem, you know, I liken it to the
because I think the big thing about the Fire Phone and Amazon wasn't necessarily that the hardware was bad.
No.
It's just they didn't have the same, or maybe not the same, they didn't have a mature ecosystem to fit into what Android and Apple were already doing, which is why nobody even got into Windows Phone.
And I think marketing hardware is different than marketing software or marketing media, you know? I think each one of these marketing bins is so different that I think you need a completely different approach to those three buckets. You know, media, hardware, and software are very different.
I guess my last thing. So you mentioned how iTunes didn't take off until it hit the Windows platform. And, you know, you open yourself up to that entire, like, the Windows, I don't know, population?
Yes.
Whatever it is?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, we're Roku people, let's say, right? And we have everything on Roku, and Roku, like, everything's going through that thing.
Yes.
Apple TV, are they going to get onto a Roku platform just to get that, you know, not necessarily Apple TV, but, like, the Apple Channel, the Apple Plus or whatever, just to capture those eyeballs because so many people have Rokus.
And I think you've just encapsulated the confusion in the marketplace that comes from calling something Apple TV Plus. You know, Apple TV is the piece of hardware you put as it's the OTT over the top box that you put in your cabinet that you attach to your TV. So
right.
To say that Apple TV Plus is the streaming service is, you know, it's far different than Disney saying Disney Plus is a streaming service. That's pretty easy because Disney puts their name in front of everything that they do. So you kind of understand that Disney is a brand that's an overarching brand, but Apple TV is the name of a device. And I think this is where we step into the idea of, you know, when you're marketing media, when you're marketing streaming services, it's different than marketing hardware. So they, you know, you want to talk about names and the way they named the movies and named different things. This, I think, is a naming, you know, not a misstep that could lead to some confusion.
On our Apple TV box, when we used it, we couldn't get Amazon, right?
Yes. So Amazon wasn't on the Apple TV.
And Netflix.
Netflix was on there, but YouTube was not on there. YouTube, they took off YouTube.
Did we get HBO on there?
Yeah, HBO was on there. So all of the cable providers, all of the stream, Hulu was on there and Netflix was on there. But yeah, specifically Amazon Prime was not on there and YouTube was not on there.
And that's why we got the Fire.
Right. We got the Fire box, the Fire.
And now are they on there or?
They are. So YouTube, I think, figured it out. Although I guess we don't know because we don't have the Gen 4 Apple TV.
That's the latest?
Yeah, I think so. And since we switched over to the whole, so you're on the Roku system for OTT and we're on the Amazon Fire system for OTT. So that's how we watch it. But I think the Amazon Fire has really picked it up. You know, you can use Alexa to program it, to call up programming within it. So it's pretty user friendly across the board and people are very comfortable with Roku. So I think those are kind of hardware leaders. I think those are the three hardware leaders in OTT.
And like you said, Jimmy, I think it would be advantageous if they put it out there on a different platform. Then you have more eyeballs on your programming. And I looked up their lineup, and they have a huge variety of programming that people would enjoy watching, or at least perusing the quick titles and the talent associated with
them. I mean,
them.
They're definitely taking learnings from Netflix. They're buying the talent. They're producing high-quality programming. They're going to have Apple-produced content, and they won't... I don't think they're going to dive too much into licensing contracts, so I don't think they're going to have that muddied, watered space that Netflix is kind of living in. So it'll be interesting to see how wide they go, and I think they are planning on going pretty wide, so you're hopeful that you could see the stuff on Roku.
You know, I would think so, because like there's lots and lots and lots of iPhone, and there's lots and lots of Mac, but what you don't have, in my assumption, are a lot of Apple TV. And I think viewing on a phone or an iPad or a 13-inch MacBook Pro or something is only going to go so far, and people are going to want to watch some of these things, if not all these things, on their television at some point. Not saying that they're never going to take it mobile, but they're going to want to watch it on their television. And I would say most people aren't. I mean, when you look at OTT boxes, the Apple is probably three times the price of a Roku or a Fire or a Chromecast or something.
Oh yeah, Chromecast. Yeah, I forgot about that one.
Right? But I mean, the Apple TV is way more expensive, and I would say most people are probably going the Roku route or the Fire Stick route or something. So they're not going to be having access to it on their television, and instead they're going to be on a phone or a tablet. And I just don't see that as a viable option for most people to actually want to sit down, consume content on like a 5-inch screen. That just doesn't make sense. So they have to eventually come to another box.
But we also have to say that we're all of a certain age, Jimmy. Like the four of us.
Well, that is true.
The four of us in this space, and I would say the two sleeping Willets right now, they have been in a room where there's a perfectly fine, you know, 50-inch television in it, and they prefer to watch YouTube on their phones. And I don't know whether it's the intimacy of it. I don't know whether it's the fact that, you know, it's an escapism within a space that maybe they want to get away from their sibling, you know? So I think that there is an argument to be made for that Gen Z is okay with watching stuff on their phone.
Not just that, but there have been times where each of them will say, oh, mommy, can I use your laptop? Or daddy, can I use your laptop? But then we're like, well, you both can't be on Netflix at the same time. Like, one of you needs to use Prime and one of you needs to use Netflix, or one of you has to watch HBO, you know.
So there's no community viewing.
We do. We definitely do community viewing, but it is driven by us as the parents. And it's, you know, like we said, it's the Hallmark Channel moments. It's, you know, it's Good Eats coming back. It's, you know, it's all of what we're watching now, you know.
Got ya.
I think, too, because their age difference, I mean, it's 3.5 years, and she's a girl and he's a boy. So their interests are not quite aligned the way they were. I mean, Ted and I don't even watch the same shows.
Well, that's true. I mean, you look at our boys, and they're, you know, 21 months apart, and they're into the same thing. Lego, superheroes, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
All right, so really quick, let's finish up with what you guys have been watching.
Well, we just watched the new launch of... What's it?
Good Eats. Good Eats The Return.
Good Eats The Return.
So that's Alton Brown coming back for...
Is that Better Eats?
Yeah, Better Eats. So Alton Brown's coming back for a 15th season of his show from Good Eats.
15 seasons.
Holy Toledo. So, you know, we've watched it from, I think, at least the second season. So, if not the first, but yeah, it's been great watching it. And it was so fun. We watched the season one of episode one of season 15. And then because we watched it on YouTube, it autoplayed something from season one after it. And just to see what he looked like, whatever it was, 16, 17 years ago.
Oh, that's crazy.
It's amazing. Crazy.
A young man.
A young man with a full head of hair. So back to this, what do you watch? Like, Bryce likes this show called Troll Hunters.
On Netflix,
and he's finishing that. There's a couple of more episodes left, and then...
Oh, we got very invested in that. As a family, we last Sunday night, we wanted to watch...
Troll Hunters.
I don't know, the boys, I think it's too old for the boys.
It's too much for the boys.
But last Sunday night, we wanted to go to bed.
And we watched two episodes.
And we watched two more episodes after bedtime on Sunday because the whole family was so invested in it.
We're like, wait, what?
We can't end it right there. We can't. We need to see what happens.
And then Audrey's show that she's been watching is The Good Witch on the Hallmark Channel. So,
oh, we've heard of that one.
Yes, I've been talking about that for the past couple weeks.
So we try to sit down and watch what they like together, and we sort of have to have a give and take. Okay, if we watch one episode of Audrey's, and you know they can only watch TV Friday, Saturday, Sunday during the school year, and then they'll say, "Well, we watch two Troll Hunters," and I'm like, "Troll Hunters 22 minutes, Audrey. One Good Witch is 40 minutes. He can watch two episodes for your one episode." What about you guys?
Well, we didn't watch much, but I know the boys are very into the Lego. Which Lego are they doing right now?
Oh, Ninjago or something.
Yeah.
No, you know, I got back to work this week and, well, actually last week, but it's been like a shock to the system getting back up at 5 in the morning to work out and stuff. And so we're finishing up some Barry and that's about all we've been doing. So it's been kind of quiet on the watch. I know like the past couple episodes, it was like we were watching all kinds of stuff.
Tons of stuff.
Yeah, but we slowed down a little bit just getting back in the groove. I think we're going to have to come back around again.
Getting up early and all that makes a difference.
Weekend movie viewing.
I finally watched Shazam this evening, so that was good. I liked it. I guess I'll write a little review about it, but it hit all the right notes. It's one of...
Wait, Shazam? Is that with...
Yeah.
Is that with...
Zachary Levi.
Who?
Zachary Levi.
Hmm.
Oh, no. I was thinking Shaquille O'Neal.
No, it's not him.
What was he in?
No, it wasn't. He wasn't in anything. It was a fake... It was Sinbad, right? It was... Oh, no, Shaquille. I don't know. There was one movie that everybody swears existed but never existed, and it was Sinbad in something that was like that.
How do you... I don't know.
Wait, but it wasn't Shaquille O'Neal?
No. In Shazam? Oh. No. The original Shazam is... How do you say that?
No. There was a Shaquille O'Neal that was like...
Because you guys are like, we're watching Shazam or whatever. And I said, they got 25 minutes for some Shaquille O'Neal movie.
Kazam is the Shaquille O'Neal.
See, I wasn't that off.
Yeah, so, 25 years later.
So
Kazam, Shazam, it's all the same.
Jimmy, do you remember when my mom was here and I saw three movies in one day and I watched, what, an hour worth of trailers?
Yes.
So in the morning, I took my mom to see a mom movie. She wanted to see that Palms movie.
That was awful.
It wasn't awful for her. Okay. She enjoyed it. It was awful for me. And then she took the kids to the movies because she was like, oh, look, we can go see another movie. And we took them to see Shazam. And then Ted was so jealous. He was like, wait, what? You went to the movies with your mom and then the kids? Now you and I have to go to the movies.
And we had a built-in babysitter, so let's go see Tolkien.
Yes.
So we went to go see Tolkien that night.
Ah, there you go. So your mom's the kind of person who goes and pays for a movie, then stays for like four?
No,
it's that Tuesday. So we actually paid for all the movies and we still only spent $20 a movie. Because it was still $5 back then.
It was $5, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
Dang,
nice.
We got to be there on a Tuesday.
You have to come with us and use our AMC with us.
Yeah.
Oh, but you guys, and you guys said that you're working out at 5 o'clock in the morning. Guess where?
Yeah.
Guess what Bryce and I are doing tomorrow morning?
Riding your bikes at 5 a.m.
We're riding our bikes with Frank at 7 a.m. over at Balboa Park to help him train.
Yeah. Frank's training now. Good.
Oh, goodness. Watch out for your tires. They'll probably be flat.
I know. We heard about the burrs over there.
Oh, my God. Barbara was like, Franklin, you have to take the repair kit with you.
The main thing, just say, Frank, you need to find hills. Go uphill.
Uphill. Oh, no. Uphill. This is tomorrow.
So Saturday is going to be his spinning training. And then on Sunday, he's doing his long uphill train. And when he explained the route that he was going for his Sunday ride, I immediately tapped out. I was like,
no.
I know that road and my car has a hard time getting up that hill. So
wait, what? Where is he going?
He's Chatsworth. Going up Chatsworth, up the hill over there. He has like a 30 mile ride that he wants to do.
No, he's doing 20 miles on ride. Sunday.
Okay.
Good for him.
Good for him. We're going to do 30 on Sunday.
Yeah.
So tomorrow he wanted to drive. He wanted to ride from the house over to the park and back. And I was like, oh no, Bryce can't ride his bicycle on that major road. No. I was like, I will put Bryce and his bicycle in the car and drive him over to meet you.
What is it? White Oak or something? Or
down Victory.
Oh, Victory?
Yeah.
Is there a bike lane there? Or why?
I don't know if there's a bike lane.
Yeah, I don't know.
There's a bike lane for parts of it.
Well, that's cool that you guys are riding. So it's 7 a.m.?
7 a.m.
Beat the heat.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, got to beat the heat. Then you can come home, take a nap. Yeah. All right. Well, hey, you guys get to bed because you got a big ride in the morning. And
that's right.
Yeah. Enjoy.
All right.
Make sure you beat up the old man so he's all ready to go.
Yeah.
Just go like a half a wheel faster so he feels like he's trying to catch up the whole time.
You are so terrible,
Jimmy.
Oh,
my God. I'm going to be sucking wind after 5 minutes. Come on.
I know.
The old man will be beating you up. You know? Yeah. He'll be like, oh, my God, I can't keep up with this guy. This guy's amazing.
No.
Throw that volleyball.
Bryce is going to be spinning circles around the two of them.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see.
Well, we'll find out next week, right?
Yeah, that's right.
I won't be there. I'll be in my bed.
All right. Nice. Well, speaking of next week, we'll talk to you then. You guys have a good night.
Right. Have a good
you
night.
Too. Later.
Bye.
All
Bye.
Right. Bye. Bye now.
Next week, join Jim and Ted as they disarm another Hollywood bomb or marketing masterpiece. Remember, the Holy Trinity of podcasting. Subscribe, like, share.
Special thanks to Jeremy Kent Jackson for the voiceover and Rahelio for the music.